working Monday night, and Tuesday might not be quite right. So come by Sunday, Sunday night I'm free.
Hello and welcome to episode 5. Are we on episode 5?
Episode 5
of Smashing Sundays with me, Lucy Pinder.
And me, Beth Branville. And we are really excited to be joined by singer-songwriter Emily Burns, who is about to embark on her first headline tour of Asia, Europe and the UK, which we're going to because we're huge fans. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. Are you coming to the whole tour?
The whole tour,
Can we come to Asia with you?
Yeah.
We'll be your, like, proper groupies.
I mean, we already are a little bit. Like, we've seen you a lot.
No,
we haven't been to the last couple because it was getting a bit weird, wasn't it?
I think the restraining order was...
I do have a sign outside with your face in.
Do not let these girls in.
We've seen you a lot and we're big fans. We absolutely adore your music. And you're doing so well. And your first headline tour is really exciting.
Yes. So, this is the first... So, at the end of last year, I went on a support tour with a Scandinavian pop artist called Tuva Stidica. She's, like, my favourite artist. And to go on tour with her was amazing, but to now go and do all those cities as my own show.
So
that's
exciting.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Pressure really big, or are you just... You can't wait to get your teeth into it?
Yeah, I'm just excited.
It's all so good. Like, if you haven't seen Emily, we're seeing you in London, aren't you? You're doing the O'Meara in April.
Yes.
It's effortless, isn't it? Like, every time we go and see you, we're just like, oh my God. Oh. You don't look nervous.
You're an incredible performer. And your voice just sounds produced when you sing. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to fit out that door.
we're genuinely big fans, as you know. So, prepping for going on tour.
Prepping.
What's going on? What's going down before you leave?
Do you have to go on, like, voice rest?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
No. I should be. And to be honest, it starts in, like, 3 weeks. So, from now going forwards, I'm going to be really good. Like, I'm not drinking. That's a big one.
Good girl.
Like, because I drink. I go out, I drink, and I shout. Like, I don't
Same.
Need to shout.
So husky when
mad?
I wake
why
up.
Do, yeah. Why do
I'm like Mr.
That?
Noisy. You know, off the Mr. Yeah. Men with his big shoes, like,
Same.
Clumping around shouting.
Same. My friends are literally, if we go for a meal and I drink, they're like, oh, God. I'm like, what? And they're like, you just get very loud. It's weird.
No, I think it's a wine thing.
Definitely a wine thing. Wine is evil.
And singing as well, singing along to songs that are on.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be on voice rest in Edinburgh because I was doing a show a couple of years ago that was really loud. Mm-hmm. The character was so loud and I had a couple of screams to do. My director would just be eyeing me on a night out, just singing and shouting away. Yeah, on the honey and low. I can't do voice rest. Like, I physically can't do it.
Well,
I'm so
surely
noisy.
Surely it must be, like, I don't know what would be easier if you had to be on voice rest, having a little notepad, or now just doing voice notes and having them all ready just to...
Just
we should try that one day, just for gags.
Yeah.
Try and see if we can
pre-record.
Talk through
one
our
for every
iPhones.
Scenario, yeah. I like that.
So no drinking.
No drinking. I guess I'm just going to try and take it a bit more easy. Less sessions, like, just kind of be chilled for the next few weeks.
And by sessions, you mean singing, not drinking.
Yeah, no sessions.
Both. All sessions are off the cards.
Sessions, lush. We talk a little bit about Sundays on this podcast.
Smashing.
My yesterday's one wasn't so smashing. Aww. I had a bit of a savage one, actually. And then my friend rescued me. I was going to see Gabrielle Fernie's play last night, which was amazing at the Vault Festival. It was so good. Mm. But it was about alcoholism. I had been out till 6 in the morning the night before. So I was sort of quite fragile. I laughed lots and I cried lots. I was having one of those days. And I was my friend had stayed over and then he left. And I was like, oh, this is sad. Lucy wasn't back for a while.
I was
so
on
I
the
thought, I know what I'll do.
For 3 hours.
I was like, I'll watch EastEnders like I used to do in the olden days. I'll watch a bit of an omnibus.
Well, that's and not going to cheer you up.
Yeah, I was crying at Dr. Legg's funeral. And I thought, Beth, you're wasting your life. And then my friend texts me randomly saying, I'm in Epping, which is quite near to like where we live. What are you doing? And I was like, please come over, for the love of God, please come over. And he bought me an Easter egg and we hung out and then he came to the play with me. So it went from savage to smashing, my one yesterday. But they're all so varied, and we talk about what a British Sunday is on this podcast, and what it can be, quite an emotive day. Some people can find it a bit depressing. Some people...
Well, it's literally, it's what, there's so much. I feel like we talked about this in the last episode, like the pressure of a Sunday. And I don't know, it's weird because none of us have like a 9-to-5 job, but there's still something about a Sunday that there's so much pressure to make it like a nice day, or to, you know, because it can be like the best day of the week or literally the worst day. Where you just sit feeling lonely, feeling sorry for yourself, in an absolute funk. So, or get stuck on the M25 for 3 hours. What does Emily Burns get up to on a usual Sunday?
Yeah, it's funny because, like you're saying, like we don't have a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday job. So Sunday, like especially coming into the summer, we're not coming into the summer, are we?
It's 18 degrees out there today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's making me think about festivals.
Yes.
Festival season's coming up. It's like 4 months away. But Sundays then are just a complete, every weekend you're playing somewhere, so Sundays are like,
oh, of
just
course,
a
working
day.
Yeah, or you're traveling, or like Sundays are, but right now Sundays for me are like, I love a Sunday pub.
Yeah,
it's
Sunday
bad.
Pub's lush, isn't it?
It's bad.
A couple of drinks on a Sunday in a pub,
yeah, just
is
a couple.
Banging.
Yeah,
just a couple.
Yeah.
And do you like a roast in the pub? Because are you vegan?
I'm vegan, yeah.
Yeah. Is there anywhere that does a good vegan roast pub-wise in London?
Don't know. Write in, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Tweet us.
Oh, yeah. We'd love some suggestions.
We'd love Smashing Sunday vegan roast suggestions.
We're veggie. What was the place I used to go to? This is totally pointless because I've totally forgotten the name of it. There was a really good veggie roast somewhere in Wandsworth and it's gone out of my head. So that's... don't know why I'm mentioning that. But it's so hard to find a good vegetarian roast.
Oh, yeah, you have some shockers. Apparently the Colonel Fawcett in Camden is got voted in the Observer one of the top places for a roast in London. So that's on my list to check out.
Do they do vegan?
They do a veggie one. I don't know about vegan, but let's check.
Do you know what annoys me? Is, like, whenever I go for a roast, if they're not doing a veggie roast, it's like... what's the alternative? Like a falafel burger.
Oh, I literally hate it.
So everyone's
like, no,
this
I
nice
want
roast
a roast.
Dinner.
I know, it's frustrated me for so long.
Or like an aubergine moussaka.
Oh, it's
something.
The worst.
Like, it's so annoying. It's like going for a cooked breakfast as a veggie. You're like, just give me veggie sausages. And they're like, oh, do you
I don't want
like
a sweet corn fritter with a bit of avocado on it. No, lovely if I'm having a glass of wine in the afternoon, I'm in tapas. I don't want it on my English
cooked
breakfast.
No.
Yeah.
No.
English breakfast. Sorry, I did not vote leave. If I want my English breakfast, I just spat everywhere. I like an English breakfast, and that is why I voted leave. I did not vote leave. I repeat, I did not vote leave. If Dave Charms in the edit takes out me saying
I did not vote leave,
then yeah, they'll be hell to pay. But funny talking about being a veggie, because what just happened to me this weekend, it wasn't a...
hideous.
I'd love to pretend it was a Sunday, but it wasn't. But I'm genuinely interested in the moral quandary of you, Emily, and I know Lucy's thoughts on it, and just anyone, really, to tell me what they would have done in this situation. So I haven't eaten meat for 27 years, right? I was really young when I gave up meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, not a thing, just haven't eaten meat for a really long time. And I went for lunch with a very dear friend who's in her 80s. And whenever we meet, we go out for lunch. And she's a writer, she's a fabulous writer. She's written some incredible books and things. She's coming on the podcast, actually.
Yay.
To Midsummer Murders. She's a wonderful woman. Anyway, we were going out... for lunch, I thought. Then I turn up and we weren't going out for lunch. She'd cooked. And I was like, oh, how lovely. Like, that's so kind. She was like, you know, I don't cook. Emily knows already. So I said, so she was like, oh, you know, I hate cooking, but I thought, you know, I'll treat us. And she was all excited. And we sat down. And I was like, oh, lovely. And she pulls out of the oven what can only be described as duck. duck a l'orange. Oh. If you don't like duck, you're rather stuck. It was proper Fawlty Towers. I went, oh. And she obviously read my face and said, oh, gosh. And she looked at me and said, oh, you're not one of these people who's funny about eating duck, are you? Oh,
and just I flesh said, in general.
Duck, yeah. I don't mind the pigs. And
I've never eaten duck, ever.
No,
so, like,
of course.
I was sort of going, not obviously not catastrophizing it. It's a bit of food, you know, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I've never eaten it. So obviously I was 8 when I gave up meat, so I wasn't like, you know, going to my mum, like, mum, yeah, I'll have her beans, waffles and duck, please. Like, just not something we had in the house.
Oh.
So yeah, I had what, like, almost like a bit of a panic attack. Like, again, please don't listen to this and just think she's a massive dick. Like, I wasn't catastrophizing, but it just felt really weird because I just thought, I really don't want to eat this.
No.
The duck's already dead. Okay, fine, move on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
whatever. I'm, you know, and I don't take any moral high ground because I'm not a vegan. So I don't think I can, because there's so much cruelty in the dairy industry, yeah, that, you know, of course, just so much respect for vegans. But, you know, so I wasn't catastrophic. I really didn't want to eat it. And it was a leg of duck. And I thought, who the fuck doesn't eat meat for 27 years and then tucks into a leg of duck?
No,
I just couldn't believe it was happening. So she went out into the kitchen. I'm thinking, what the fuck am I going to do? So I take a quick picture of it. And I'm off Instagram for a month, so I couldn't put it on my story saying, hi guys, shall I eat the duck? Yes or no?
In a bit of a quandary.
Yeah, moral quandary time. No, so I just sent a couple of messages to people going, what shall I do? And then everyone just relentlessly laughing, crying faces, eat the fucking duck.
Helpful, guys, helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I thought, I can't say to this lovely woman who's obviously forgotten that I don't eat meat, we go out to lunch, so why would I have expected her to note that I hadn't ever ordered meat? You know, it's not...
It's so difficult because so you had a couple of mouthfuls, right?
Yeah, I was waiting for a big reveal, but yeah. I'm kidding.
It's out there now.
Well, I sort of, she had a bit of salad, so I sort of put a bit of salad on the plate, some bread, and I was sat there and looking at me quite expectantly,
no,
as you
so
do if you cook to someone. I honestly thought, oh, okay, I could not bring myself to say to her, I don't eat meat.
But like, this is where I would have struggled, because I would be like, okay, if I've got to have a little bit of it, she's going to think that I don't like the taste of it. She's going to think that I'm disappointed with it. I think I would have had to have said, I started
pulling it all off the bone, they do in a Chinese restaurant or whatever. So I was going, well, this is what people do with duck, isn't it?
Shred it up.
I'm like, yeah, I'm making some pancakes. I was like, okay, so sort of pulling the duck apart, and then I'm putting a bit of it into a bit of bread, and I'm eating the salad, and I just thought, oh, mate, I'm going to have a mouth. It got to the point where I had to...
This makes me feel really ill.
Yeah, it's...
Just for you.
Yeah, it was
so sad.
And I had a few mouthfuls, and I thought, I can't do this anymore. Like, I just thought... And so, but I covered it up a bit and then managed to sort of, yeah, get rid of the... It felt really weird, and I kept... You know, when you forget something's happened, and then you go... Oh, yeah, that happened today. Yeah. I was like, oh, wait, duck today. And then I was having at the Volk Festival, so I told my friend Gabby about it. And last night I was having a vegan Frankfurter, like this big sausage at the Volk Festival.
Nice.
And it looks just like a normal sausage, obviously. And Gabby walked over. She was like, oh, in for a penny.
Imagine if you just went on rampant meat.
Right, guys, any surf and turf recommendations around here? Let's get this fucking show on the road.
And
being completely honest, like, if it was a bit of meat that I liked when I was younger, maybe it might have been easier. I don't know, but it was...
The fact that, yeah, because duck's, very even for meat eaters, it's quite a specific...
Yeah, that's what cracked me up. I know, my mate was like, Beth, I love meat, and even I don't eat duck.
Yeah, I remember one of the only times I ate duck was at my grandma's house when we were kids, and there was, I can't remember what it was, like a salad, and there was duck, and as I was sort of trying it... Some ducks walked past her lawn.
Oh, God.
And my 8-year-old self just went, nah, not up for that.
No, because you go and feed them, well, like, wrongly, food. You definitely shouldn't be feeding them, bread-wise. But, yeah, and I'll tell Caroline and we'll laugh about it. But in that moment, you know, I will say to her, next time I see her, I'll say...
You're saying that's the first time you've had meat in how many years?
27.
But you did have to eat a cocktail sausage, didn't you, for an audition?
Oh, yeah, I've just remembered that.
People just keep making you eat meat.
Yes, it was a Mattison's commercial, and they handed me... Like, I actually had to eat it. And
oh, no.
Can I say Matteson's committee? Yeah, fuck him. So we're in this casting. Yeah, other disgusting processed meat products are available. And I had to go in, and it was just such a horrible audition anyway. And you got to do loads of it was really like that Cardinal Burns sketch,
Fiery Hawk.
It was all of that stuff. And they just handed it to me, and I went, and I remember it saying, you know, must be okay with eating that.
Shall I take some veggie sausages? Because it's 15 grand.
So I thought, this is a lot of money. Of course I'll eat a bit of cocktail sausage for 15 grand. Like, of course I will.
Yeah.
But I didn't think I'd have to do it in the audition. So what was hilarious was, so I put this bit of sausage in my mouth because, you know, the devil can have my soul. Until I can afford to reject that kind of work, then I'm going to have to. So I put it in my mouth, and then they're reading all the direction, like, do this, imagine this is happening, you're on a jet ski, you're on, you know, all these things. And I clearly was just thinking so much about the first meat I'd eaten in all those years being that, and how gross it was, because it was gross.
Yeah.
And I was like, and she said, could we do that again where you do the things I'm asking you to do? And I went, yeah, no, sorry, I zoned out a bit then. So I may as well have just left the audition. Oh, no. So I had to put another bit in.
So what we want to know is, Emily Burns, how much would you have to be paid to eat meat?
Yeah, what's my price?
Oh, yeah. Have you got a price, meat-wise?
Oh, you know what? People have asked me that before. Because, like, I mean, I'm less... So, like, I only went veggie 6 years ago and vegan 2 years ago. So it's not that long since I have eaten meat. But the thought of actually eating meat now, just, it makes me feel unwell.
Like, same. Like, I've only been properly veggie for about, I think this is my fifth year.
Mm.
But I didn't eat a lot of meat before. And at Christmas, like, my dad, bless him, was like, you can have a bit of turkey, can't you? I was like, no, Dad, I'm vegetarian. Oh, it's Christmas, you can have a bit of turkey.
That's not how this works.
And I was like, if I ate turkey now, I think I'd probably be ill. Like, yeah. I had a friend who cut
out... You wouldn't.
Well, we had a friend who went on like a... on a diet for her wedding, and she had a burger. I think it, 'cause it was so fatty, so she cut meat out only for about 3 months and had a burger and was like violently kind of sat on the toilet for about a day, just because her body was like, whoa, we're doing this again, aren't we?
I think a lot of it's psychological as well.
Yeah, I think so, because I mean, yeah.
Cutting into a steak now and eating it, like, it's more the thought.
Yeah,
because once you've made that association and that connection, I think, with that. So this is where I have a problem with, so stopped eating meat because my brain was doing that connection, like that's the dead animal.
Yeah.
And then I want to be able to eventually get that connection with, if I eat an egg or dairy, you know, but I don't seem to have that. Mm. Yeah, yes.
So £1 million.
Yes.
Is it? Would you not? So if I said, here's 20 grand on the table, like, Des O'Connor on Take Your Pick, I'm just putting like £50 notes in front of you.
Just throw it.
Would you do it for, yeah.
20 grand? I'll think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm too skint to not. Like, honestly,
yeah,
genuinely, if anyone is listening.
Yeah, if anyone would like to pay me to
live on air.
That's a real, like, that's probably a niche kind of, like, won't go down that road.
I was on the edge of my seat then. I was like, what? Yeah. Is this an opportunity?
Where? How do I find people?
What's the niche? I'm in. I won't be having a duck Sunday roast anytime soon.
I'm so
sorry, though. That's really,
I mean, it's first world problems, isn't it? But it was sad. It's been such a surreal week in general. I've been in Cologne. Have you been to... Are you going to Germany on any of your tour?
Not yet. I have been to Cologne.
Have you?
But I mean, I was like six.
Do you remember? The cathedral's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I do actually remember that. We went to see... My cousin is in theatre. So went to see her in Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, wow.
Cologne. It was very random. But she's amazing. She's doing Frozen in Broadway at the moment.
Wow.
Fun.
Other Broadway shows are available.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Let's give Frozen a plug. No, I'm kidding. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, talented Cologne. Family.
Yeah.
Is there are there many other singers and
my whole family dancers and family.
Yeah, are they? Your dad is, isn't he?
My dad, yes. My dad.
Met your dad at a gig.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, he's nice.
He's lush.
Yeah.
So lush.
He always played in bands when I was growing up. So then my brother took from him and was like, I want to be a guitarist.
Oh, is your brother a musician as well?
Yeah,
wow.
He's in a metal band.
I think you've told me this.
Yeah, it's like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I'm like pop and he's like tech metal.
Wow.
But they're brilliant. They're called Wars. They're like an amazing, amazing band. But yeah,
because I love a bit of Rage Against the Machine. Like, I'm not adverse to some heavy. Like, my music taste is relatively heavy anyway.
Yeah.
How heavy are
they? Well,
yours
is very eclectic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'll go Rage Against the Machine, Beyonce, bit of Paul Simon, bit of classical, nice. Bit of Emily Burns.
Thanks, mate.
You are next to Paul Simon, Boy in the Bubble, on my current playlist, actually.
Oh, wow.
Test Drive. I think Test Drive is still my favourite song of yours. There's can we tell the story about that song? Because I remember finding that really interesting when I spoke to you about the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
So it says, tell us the chorus bit.
So the chorus lyric is, I don't really mind, just don't make me your test drive for the weekend.
And so I said to Emily, there's a few people who I just want to be their test drive for the weekend. And I was like, I love the song, but a bit of me's like, sometimes you go, mate, I don't want to go out with you. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want a girlfriend. And it's like, I literally don't want to go out with you, but
I'd quite like to.
Quite like a joyride for the weekend.
Yeah.
Joyride in the evening. Yeah. Like, sometimes you want that. And so then I said to Emily, I change the lyrics a little bit in my head occasionally, because some people you do want to test drive for the weekend. She said,
what do you change it to?
Well, just that. I don't really mind. You can make me your test drive for the weekend. Because I'm not looking for just a little more than a joyride in the evening.
Amazing.
I can occupy myself in the day. Absolutely fine. The odd night, you're like, well, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
wouldn't it? So again, write in if no. So I said that to you.
Yeah.
And you said,
well, for me, it was, because sometimes, like, it's very rare for me, but sometimes you meet someone and you're like, okay, I want something with you. Like a serious thing.
It is rare.
Sorry, what?
So
when?
Rare.
When? What?
Very rare. And like this one girl I just really liked. So, and she just, you know those people that just make you feel like really young again?
Mm.
And like,
yeah,
like you're being
that
stupid.
Excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was this girl, and I just wrote this song, like, you know, it's cool to just be seeing each other, but just don't, like, I don't want this to be just a weekend fling.
Mm.
So that's why I wrote Test Drive. And because I was worried she was going to, like, come stay for the weekend and then fuck off.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She came and stayed for three. And then fucked off.
Is that worse? Yeah, that is worse.
Is that worse? Yeah.
But it's funny because there are people.
Every weekend.
Not as catchy, that. But do it for us at the O'Meara, please. We'll just change it to that. Just change one little one. Yeah. And well, some people you can't. Some people you do like a lot and you can't do that with them. And that's a thing as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I don't ever have that. Of course I do.
You
There's
get
some
feels.
People. Yeah. And you're like, no, I do really like you, actually.
Yeah.
It's just, it's more rare, isn't it?
It's very rare.
And it is that thing of, like, people want... It's like Sundays. People often, single people are often like, I'm fine being single, but there's something about a Sunday where you feel very single. And I think, I mean, oh, there are lovely things about being single, but there are just days when you just think, oh, it'd be quite nice to have someone to, like, snuggle
Sunday,
up to.
Sunday is the day.
Yeah,
it is.
Just, like, put a film on... Listen to some music, cook a nice meal together.
Have some sex.
Have some sex, man.
We're all thinking it.
That's the biggest thing I miss from not being in a relationship. It's just like Sunday sex.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, and apparently, like you were saying, you read that Sundays is the most, like, most people are looking at dating apps.
Yeah.
On
Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the highest usage. Yeah. Apparently. I've never used a dating app, ever.
Same, I've
impressive.
Never.
Impressive,
yeah.
Well, I'm just scared of it. I never went on Facebook, so I don't really like that online thing, and I am on social media now. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, all the people I've liked and fallen for and had relationships with, they are people that I just wouldn't have looked at them online. Not all of them, but some of them.
I
wouldn't have swiped, whichever way you swipe, the right way, on their picture. And I don't know, it's not about looks,
like
it's about
that.
Chemistry.
I feel like
I don't have
trust
the time.
My judgment enough no, to look same. At a profile. Like, I just think I don't know what my type is. Like, there is, like you said, there are some guys that I find myself really attracted to, and I think, God, I would never have...
No, exactly. And it's
you.
That chemistry is such a like visceral thing. Yeah. And I think, well, I don't physically have the time. Like, I'm so busy anyway. I don't have time to dedicate evenings to turning up to meet somebody who
it's
I'm probably going to walk in the bar and go, no.
Yeah. It's like a job on the side of your job.
This oh, it's massively.
My friend
yeah.
Gemma,
oh, it is a job.
This is why my friend Gemma was like tried one out. And she said, I just find that it's taking up too... I literally can't dedicate time to it.
Oh, it's a huge amount of admin, for sure. Yeah, if I was just doing a sort of 9-to-5, maybe, if I had more time on my hands, I might dabble just out of interest.
I just don't think
I'd like it.
I just think in the back of my head, I think it's like my last resort. Mm. And what if I go on it now and I don't fancy anyone on it? And then it's like, oh, well, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. Do you know what
I mean? I've done everyone on internet dating. I don't.
I think that in my head, I just think, oh, as long as I don't go on it, I can always think.
No, yeah, it's your backup.
I mean?
I used to have that. Maybe I still, I don't know. I just keep meeting people in real life. Just have to do that.
I mean, I don't do that.
You've got to have. Bit of confidence, I think, as well, just to chat to people. If I fancy someone, I'll just have a chat.
Oh, you're great. You're so great at, like, I'm terrible.
Yeah,
I will run, if
me.
I fancy someone, I will run the other way. I'm terrible, aren't I?
Yeah.
Like, you literally are like, you're really bad at this.
So bad at this.
I don't know why.
Try and give her lessons.
I don't know. I just find it, oh, I don't know.
Look at you.
Oh, I'm terrible at it. I literally, and if I'm around somebody... that I'm attracted to, like my personality leaves my body.
Oh, we all get that.
Yeah, I'm
exactly. Why?
It's hideous.
So annoying.
When you're like, oh, I mean, usually I can hold a conversation.
What is that about?
And then you're just like, yeah. Well, I think everybody gets that, which is sometimes why maybe you give people the benefit of the doubt at first.
Do you know what I think going back to the dating app thing? My friend described it in a really good way. He was like, well, I'm a big believer in what's meant to be for you will be for you.
Yeah.
And what's for you won't go by you. So, like, if something's meant to be in your life, it will stay in your life.
Yeah.
And he's saying, like, with all these dating apps and, like, going on all these dates, you're, like, forcing things into your path that actually aren't really supposed to be in there. Ooh. And you're, like, changing the path of where you're supposed to be going. I just think it was a really interesting.
That's
way to
really
describe
interesting.
It.
Yeah, I get that because I think
when you think of sliding doors and
and I think you can convince yourself. My worry would be that I would find someone on a date and think, "Oh, they look amazing for me. That's great." And then you, like, you had it with someone when you were dating someone for a bit, and you were like, "I kind of." You convince yourself that, oh, we like all the same thing, like the same comment.
You like the idea of them, and you build up this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you go, actually, no. Do you know what?
Yeah.
Talking of like things happening and coming into your path, I had one, didn't I?
This is my favourite. It is a dating story.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I went on an impromptu date on my way home once.
Nice.
I'd left this night out early because I had to be up the next day because I was cooking lunch for people and, you know, so I was a little bit tipsy, sort of went, right, guys, I'm calling it a night, really proud of myself, left this party, went home at sort of 9 o'clock and I'm on the tube and I look over and, you know, that perspex bit where, like, that's near the door? Mm-hmm. There was this guy there and he was asleep and I just looked across and I was a little bit further back. Stay with this, guys, I'm not AM. Which is convenient because I'd put the Rohypnol in an hour before when I'd seen him in the bar and it was really starting to kick in. Anyway, so he was asleep and I just looked over and thought, oh my God, he's one of the most beautiful men I've ever seen in my life.
He was like Sleeping Beauty.
He was like Sleeping Beauty.
I know.
And I was just, it was like that Instagram thing, you know, with the da 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 da. Or like the hearts. I was like, Jesus, look at that guy. Anyway, had a couple of pints inside me. So when the person next to him got up and got off the tube, she I made my way down the sleazy like a son. So I walked down the tube carriage and sat next to him, not knowing what the fuck I was going to do about it.
Love this
story. So I sort of like lightly kind of tapped him on the shoulder. And I said, excuse me, sorry, I'm sorry to wake you. I just didn't know if you meant to be asleep. I didn't want you to miss your stop. And he sort of like came to a little bit and said, oh, thank you. Thanks so much. I was properly asleep then and I would have missed my stop. Thank you. And I was like, oh, it's all right. It happened to me. I ended up in Buckhurst Hill a couple of weeks ago. It was an absolute disaster, which was true. And I had kept falling asleep and sort of waking up at the end of the line. It's gross and that happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, he was like, thanks. And I was like, yeah, no worries. And I went to put my headphones back in. He was just as beautiful with his eyes open. And he said, oh, what are you listening to? And I was like, oh, David Bowie, Moon Age Daydream, currently, as you ask. I was like, oh, I've made this playlist. I'm absolutely thrilled with it. So we started, like, chatting through the playlist. And I'd just seen Radiohead and Glastonbury. And, like, we had, you know, we were just having this lovely chat. And he said, my God, this playlist, it's like you were born in 1983. And I went, my God, I was born in 1983. And he was like, shit, sorry, I wasn't trying to guess your age. And just, I was born in 1983. And it looks like the kind of playlist I'd have. And I was like, oh, my God. And I went, and he said, not August. And I went, yeah, I am August. It wasn't the same date. Anyway, so we're chatting away and it was really nice. And then he looked around and said, oh, we're at Bethnal Green. And he said, oh, this is my stop. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, really nice to meet you. And he said, yeah, you too. He went, this is kind of a shame, isn't it? And I went, yeah, I mean, it kind of is. But, you know, yeah, I mean, have a lovely evening. And he said, yeah, you too. And then he got up and the doors opened and he turned around and said, okay, fuck it, do you want to go for a drink? And I went, oh, and the doors went, du-du-du-du-du. And he literally held out his hand and I jumped off the tube.
This is
out of it was, and I was like,
it's literally
oh my
a Richard
God.
Curtis film.
And all the people on the tube like got up and like looked out, like as in what, like just
I love that. I love the idea of
open.
Everyone watching it happen.
Yeah, it was mad. And there's a bit of a wind tunnel thing at like Bethnal Green, so it's like really windy, like going up the escalators, and he like was still holding my hand from jumping off the tube and turned around and said, look, if we get to the top of the escalators and you don't want to do this, that's okay. And I was like, aww. And he said, sorry, I haven't done anything like that before. And I don't, and I was like, yeah,
I do
mean,
it every Friday.
Yeah. I was like, haven't you? Fucking amateur. So I was like, well, yeah, I mean, nor me, but no, I mean, it feels fine. Yeah, great. And he was like, should we go for a drink?
I've actually got tingles.
I know.
It was mad. And then we went. Wait till it ends.
Oh yeah. Get so, ready for the calm down.
So we go to the Star of Bethnal Green and we're having a couple of drinks and he was like, what do you want to drink? And I was like, oh, I have gin, soda and lime. And he was like, oh, I don't even know your name. So we didn't know each other's names. And so we had a couple of drinks. Then we're like singing and dancing away till the early hours. Just had an amazing time. And something came, oh, White Stripes came on, and everyone was doing the Jeremy Corbyn chant at the time. And he went and turned around and went, oh, thank God, I was really worried you might be a Tory. I was like, gross, as if. Anyway, we had a really fun time, went back to his, watched Hot Fuzz.
Brilliant.
I got home the next day and was like, that was mad. Mm. Needless to say, I was not cooking lunch for my friends.
Yeah.
And explain the story, and I'm telling the story. It was Pride the next day, and I was telling the story with everybody at Pride, and everyone was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe this just happened." And my friend Sam said, "Oh, I said, oh, you know, I woke him up so he didn't miss his stop." And Sam said, "Oh, Beth, you're so lovely." And my mate Garnon went, "Oh, fuck off, as she is, if she would have woken him up if he's like
attractive."
Oh God, which was correct. Imagine I just went round waking people up on tubes, just a very conscientious passenger over here. Where are you getting off, sir? Okay, yeah, keep on napping. Yeah,
you
anyway.
For a while,
so we
you?
So what happened was I was sort of we were texting obviously after that and he was like, you know, do you want to do that again? And don't worry if not, but you know, it's great meeting you. And I was like, of course I want to. So we were trying to get a date and he was away the next week and I was like in Croatia the following week and then he was going to Rotterdam and I was like, God, this is a disaster. Mm. And this was the Sunday of that. We'd met on the Friday night, this was the Sunday, and I was sat in a cafe learning some lines and he was like, well, what are you doing now? I mean, do you fancy it? You know, should we have a coffee?
I'm waking people up on the tube.
Yeah. Where do you think I am? Yeah, I said, I'm just learning some lines in a cafe. Yeah, and he said, I'm out tonight, but do you fancy a coffee this afternoon? And I was like, oh, yeah, go on then. Started to get a bit of adrenaline. I was really nervous because I thought I was a little bit drunk when I met him. If I was just creating, oh, my, I didn't know what was going to happen. So I'm sat in Brick Lane in the sun and he was like, started walking towards me. And I thought, oh, yeah, no, you're absolutely superb. This is great stuff.
Absolutely.
So we have a lovely afternoon and we both ended up cancelling our evening plans. And so we went from coffee to drinking cans of Red Stripe on the pavement, having a curry in Brick Lane. And I was looking at him thinking, oh my God, you're incredible. He was just lovely. He was so lovely. And I was like, what are we doing in Rotterdam? Like, that's a random place to be going on holiday. He said, oh, well, I'm actually going to be moving there. And I went, Emily's face, literally. I went, oh, perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And obviously, you've just met somebody that weekend. You can't go,
but
look, don't
we're in
go.
Love. Why are you moving?
Sorry, what? You can't say. So I went, cool.
Cool guy.
What an interesting guy. sorry, quoting Alistair Green there. Yeah, so I went, okay,
look
at
Emily's
look, cool.
face.
I know.
Look at the disappointment.
And I was sort of like, you know, and yeah, it was mad. And I was like, oh, sweet, okay. Anyway, long and short of it is, we went out, had an amazing night that night, and did a bit of a bar crawl and just had a lovely time. And I saw him a few more times. And it was exactly that. So he was moving. It was a few months still he was going. But, you know, everything was sort of in place for this move. And I said exactly that. I just was like, I can't do this as a casual thing. I like you more than that for the weekend. Exactly. I was like, I like you and you're lovely. And I was like, I'm not like saying I'm in love with you or anything. I was like, but I think I like you too much to do this. So if you leave in a few months, I think if we keep doing this, it might well. And he was like, oh, no, but I can be really annoying. Like, you'll probably just hate me in a bit. Anyway, I was like, I feel like I won't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's, yeah, he'd...
Beth, you've had a hard time lately.
this was quite a while ago now.
Duck.
It's fine.
The love of your life moved to Rotterdam.
Oh, God. Yeah, he might have been awful in the end. You don't know. But it's my...
It's a better story for the fact that it didn't work out.
You obviously had a lovely time with him.
Oh, we had a lush time. Yeah.
Like, that's an amazing thing to share that with someone, regardless of how it
ended. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's rare in itself.
Yeah. And we did end up sort of, I can't do this. We did, you know, see each other the odd time and we still saw each other a little bit and stayed in touch. And then it was kind of like, okay, let's not do this.
And if you were ever in Rotterdam.
Yeah, exactly. I know who to...
I just like the idea of guys being on the central line, going to Bethnal Green, pretending to be asleep.
Yeah. Oh, just waiting so to funny. Be hit on. Yeah.
Do you know, though, when you said, this is how bad my perception of the dating world is. When you said... He said he was in Rotterdam, and you said, "Why are we in Rotterdam?" I was assuming you were going to say that's where my wife lives. Oh. I just have no faith in humanity at all.
Yeah.
Everyone's an arsehole.
Oh, I've heard so many of those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like guys on dating apps. And girls are like, oh, then I found out he's married. And you're like, what?
It's insane.
Yeah. Just be a nice person.
Be a nice person.
I know, it's like, if you want to be single, be single. Yeah. Like, it's so gross to... Oh, we won't go down that road. But, yeah, it's like, Jeff, you want to be single.
Yeah.
Unless you have an open relationship, which is fine. Mm. But don't, mad.
Absolutely mad.
I've had friends who have been, like, seeing someone and they're like, oh... They're still on Tinder, and you go, oh
that's mate,
gross, isn't it?
Because yeah, it is gross, and I think part of the problem we have in Britain and British culture is not wanting to be open, not talk openly about feelings and emotions and sex and relationships, and people really struggle to sort of be honest and open about defining what things are, and. I think when you if I like someone enough to start seeing them and exclusively them, if I like someone that much, I'm not keeping my Tinder app open. No. I mean, I've not been on it, but my equivalent would be I'm not still waking men up on tubes. Like, I'm not approaching people. I'm not being open. I'm sort of, you close off to it when you like somebody.
Yeah.
So
to
still be on that is great. You'd be like, why are you wasting my time?
Yeah.
You're keeping your options open. It's filthy. And if your options are open and you have casual relationships, which are great, and I think friends with benefits and having casual relationships, I'm an advocate for it. I think it's great fun, and you know what that is, and that's fine. You still got to maintain a mutual respect for each other.
Everyone must be on the same page.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about being honest with each other.
Yeah.
And because we were kind of saying about this idea that all women want is to settle down. It's like, well, yeah, it'd be lovely to find someone and be like, oh my God, you're who I've dreamt you up. But the in-between is that you can like have fun with people and go, and like you say, as long as you're both respecting each other and you're kind of on the same page, and if you're not, that's fine. Like, don't keep doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so much like grey area that I think people are really scared to talk about and be open about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although after your tube story, I remember for about a month, I'd like every time I got on the tube, I was like, great, I'm gonna
look at
every time.
Public
I was like,
transport
no.
is a pretty good place to pick up.
Well, not for that month.
That's so ballsy of you. I can't.
I have to say, I did have a couple of pints in me.
Yeah.
So a bit of Dutch courage.
And still,
I literally, my brain will go, God, he's attractive. Don't look at him again.
Yeah.
Like, it's mad.
Do you know what?
And I don't know if that's because I was in a 15-year relationship that I was so closed off to it that part of my brain still thinks, well, you're not allowed to. But I just literally, if I see someone and think, God, you're really lovely, I will hide.
Never look at them again.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on an aeroplane? And you get on and you sit down and the person next to you is really hot. And you're like,
no, I would
okay,
hate
now
that.
I can't relax.
I'd love that.
Now I can't relax for the whole journey.
I'm like, right, well, I'm taking my flight socks off then. Can you imagine? I'm just going to slip these off. I would rather get a DVT than sit next to Oh, God.
Did you have this then?
Yeah, so this has happened where it's a couple of times. Like, I'm the same as you. So if I see someone attractive, I immediately focus. I can't look at them.
I get really self-conscious and like,
yeah, because
make
and then
small.
I can't like eat my dinner properly. I go fucking stupid. I just act like an idiot. And then it's happened before where like you land and you look at them and you're like, oh, you're not even that hot.
Oh, God.
It's like, what a waste of my flight.
Oh, I was looking at you through an Instagram filter. I didn't realise.
Oh, it's so funny.
But does it form relations? Sorry, Lucy.
Yeah, go.
Does it inform your writing? Because obviously we've heard lots of your songs and it is about love and relationships and meeting people. And sometimes you must think, if I meet the love of my life, I'm going to be shit at writing songs.
Yeah, do you know what?
Oh, yeah, it's
does it inform
your
art?
Creative art.
I actually, someone asked me this recently. And yeah, my answer is that I think I actually do deliberately sabotage things. Or like
self-sabotaging for the love of you.
Yeah, because then I'm like, well, it's another song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went on a few dates, kind of liked her. Oh, she broke my heart. Or
you're like, brilliant.
She broke my heart. But, you know, it was me. I just think I do it to myself in order to write about
Does
it.
The girl that you wrote Bitch about know that it's about her?
Yeah.
Is it about a particular person?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. That was my first girlfriend.
Right.
Like, we were, I guess it was like a weird thing. We were kind of both discovering our sexuality and like, but it was like a good stint.
Yeah.
And I still know her now. And she's not a bitch, like, at all. And I saw her at a wedding last year and it was like, oh, bit awkward, but it's all totally fine.
Thank you for the million thank you for the million listeners. Yeah, yeah. You've given me a lot of streams. You're the opposite of a bitch. Thank you for my career.
Yeah.
Like that Beautiful South song. You made me so much money, I wrote this song for you.
I'd love to have a song written about me.
Oh, same.
Oh, my
you
God.
Can pretend Starfish and Coffee's about you, though, because it says Lucy in it.
Yeah.
There's no song for Beth in.
Oh, there must be.
There must be a song with Elizabeth in.
I don't don't know.
Oh, hashtag, yeah. Write in, listeners. Yeah, is there a song with, my dad's good at this. My dad is good at knowing.
Text Guy Pinder, please, yeah, after this.
We'll ask GP.
There has to be.
I hope so. We'll bloody well find one. We'll write one. Let's write one. Oh my God, can I commission you to write
this song? Do you know what? Love song. Because I write the songs, no, I've never had one written about me.
Of course.
It sucks. I want a good, nice song about me.
Yeah.
Or a mean song, I don't mind.
Should we try? We'll try and write one.
Should we try and write a song about you? Emily.
Not improv. We're not a musical improv group. We won't do it now.
We're a musical improv troupe.
We are doing the Vaults Festival next year. As the podcast didn't work out, we are now a musical improv troupe. We've got some quick fire questions for you, Emily, if that's all right. For the end.
We call them quick fire. You can take as long as you like.
Not really good at quick fire.
You say that, we do pay by the hour, but for the studio. So, a couple of questions. First one is, what track do you like to wake up to on a Sunday? Or what's your perfect... You put on the radio, what's the perfect song that's on a Sunday morning when you wake up?
Okay. I actually do have a song that, like, Sundays, for me, because it's so, like, chilled, especially if it's a sunny day and you're, like, the sun's coming in through the... Like, the dream song to listen to is... In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning.
Lush.
Do you know that song?
Yeah, I don't know that song.
Oh, my God.
Dave Chalmers, will you insert a little bit of it?
Oh, yes, please.
My God. He just has the voice,
the song into the edit. Thank you. Just to clarify, because it's been that kind of episode, quite frankly. I just wanted to clear that up.
Talking about people inserting things. In the Wee Small Hours.
Yeah, it's like, it's just a beautiful, gorgeous...
That's warm. A lovely choice. And that'll go on our Smashing Sundays playlist now.
Yes, thanks. I just love it. And it just makes you feel so wholesome and just like, yeah.
Gets you ready for a nice chill Sunday.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful song. If have a listen.
Oh, I haven't heard it. I'm quite excited to... Shall I wait till Sunday to put it on? Can I listen to it on a Monday? Will that ruin it?
It'll kill it.
Okay, I'll wait till Sunday.
We'll put it on the, we've got a Smashing Sundays playlist that we're going to add everyone's songs to. Apart from David Oakes.
Yeah, he gives a horrible one to like get you out of bed that you had to turn it off. I was like, well, I don't think you've got how this works, David. David Oakes' podcast actually is currently out and you should listen to it. It's brilliant.
Trees are Crowd.
Listen to that. So good. He's got a lovely voice. Meditate to it if you like, if you're not into trees. No, it's very good. The other one is your ideal Sunday viewing.
Sunday viewing.
Could be a TV show, a film.
Yeah. I think I'm quite basic with this one in that I just love like a Hugh Grant film.
Yeah. Like a Richard Curtis kind of... Yeah. Four Weddings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Notting Hill,
man.
That's a great Sunday.
Yeah,
that's
lovely choice.
One. Yeah.
That's the one. Just like, yeah, or even just, I know it's kind of a Christmas film, but Love Actually just gets me every time.
That Emma Thompson bit in that film.
Oh my God. Her crying in that film, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
That bit in that film is just, it blows my mind. It's heartbreaking. She's incredible. Someone pointed out about Love Actually. Stop saying actually.
Say it one more time.
Pointed out in that film actually that there aren't any gay relationships in all of those relationships.
Oh my God!
And I was like, yeah.
That's
nonsense. I hadn't thought about it, and I thought
as
that's
a gay
really
person,
sad.
I probably should have realised.
No, but I didn't realise either. And yeah, I was like, oh my God, and someone said that. And they were like, yeah, how unlikely is that in all of those people that there isn't a single gay relationship? So that was sad.
Oh, now I'm going to watch it again and look for little gay nuances.
Yeah, we'll have to. with any gay nuance you've noticed in Love Actually.
There must be. Like a little.
I'm trying to
come back to us.
Nothing, is there? There's the friend, Bill Nighy, and the friend, I love that. Like the friendship, him and his manager.
Let's just say they were shagging.
Yeah, just to keep us all happy.
In our head, yeah. That's a better film.
But yeah, they are. I love Four Weddings and a Funeral. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, it's a great
that
film.
On a Sunday. Yeah. That or I'm obsessed with Far From the Madding Crowd. I think I could watch that every Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that Sunday. Is incredible.
The Carey Mulligan and Matthias Schoenaerts.
Mm.
Oh, it's lovely.
Oh,
the
it's
rolling,
amazing.
Like, Dorset Hills and Matthias Schoenaerts. And Carey Mulligan is just wonderful in that. Michael Sheen.
Yeah, it's an incredible film. It's
such
really
a lovely
brilliant.
Sunday film. Yeah.
There's a sad bit for vegans at the beginning, but we won't spoil it.
Yeah, my 15-year-old niece got to that
it's
bit.
Quite traumatised at that bit.
And I was like, no, stick with it, stick with it. She was like, I can't believe you made me watch this.
Yeah, that is quite traumatic at the beginning. But yeah.
Maybe I'll start in 10 minutes in.
Yeah, it's just it shows the brutality of living in the country at that time.
Yeah,
right.
And then our final quick fire question is: what would your ideal Sunday look like?
Ideal Sunday.
Perfect Sunday. Yeah. So
perfect Sunday.
What would if you can dream one up? What would a perfect Sunday look like?
A perfect Sunday would be not setting an alarm for a start. Which is a rarity, I think, to just be like, I'm going to sleep. I don't care what time I wake up. So just get up whenever your body
when the sun comes through your curtains.
It's beautiful not setting an alarm. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really
nice. Do you know what? So yesterday, this Sunday just gone, I got up and I just like went for a swim, which was like the perfect way to start the day.
Mm.
I felt so great afterwards. So maybe wake up, go for a swim, like, make myself some nice breakfast, and then just meet up with some friends, like, go for a nice lunch, a nice vegan roast. Sit in a pub garden, have a couple of beers, nice and chilled, and then I have, like, the best housemates ever, so it's really nice, like, to just get home and all cook a meal together, share a bottle of wine, like, maybe play some board games. I'm not quite.
Oh, I love a board game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, my family. Well, yes. So my Auntie Claire, wonderful Auntie Claire, she loves a board game. So whenever we go to hers and we get very drunk, she's always got a new one. So for a while it was Storming the Castle, which is the film The Princess Bride. It's a board game based on The Princess Bride. It's bloody brilliant. We were playing Catan. Have you done Catan?
No.
Catan's quite fun because you basically can sabotage other people. So nice. It gets really, especially when everyone's a bit drunk, it gets very competitive. I love a bit of Trivial Pursuit.
Yes,
I love
mate.
Trivial Pursuit.
Nice. I love Trivial Pursuit. The other night, we tried to go to a pub quiz, didn't work out. All just got a bottle of wine, went home, played Trivial Pursuit.
Perfect.
It's better than a pub quiz.
Yeah. I love anything when I can be a bit of a know-it-all.
Yeah. You feel like such a boss when no one else knows the answer.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, I've got this one.
Yeah, yeah. It's so cool. Lush, that sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's been an absolute treat.
Please go and listen to Emily's music on Spotify, best place to go.
Yeah, actually, I have a single out.
Was Buy the Vinyl. You've got a single out this week. How exciting. Yeah. Plug.
It comes out on Wednesday. It's called Too Cool, and it's the first one I've done like a music video for.
That's Hello. Exciting. Oh, and I've just realised that this is going to go out on Sunday, so
the single will
already be out. So immediately, once this podcast is finished, you need to go and...
Yeah, so it's on Spotify, it'll be on Apple Music, Amazon, all the music platforms. And
what's it called?
It's called Too Cool. And it's about, you know, when you're with someone who's just too relaxed about everything.
Mm.
And they just let you get away with it. So, like, I'm trying to wind you up. Like, I'm trying to get a reaction out of you and you're just being too cool about everything. And you're too lovely and too amazing and too wonderful and it's just really annoying.
Yeah.
God, I sound like such a bitch.
No, I know. We've all been there.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm quite passionate and fiery and I'm quite, like... I don't know, what's the word? Irritating and opinionated? I'm really, like, fiery. So when people are just sort of really, like, oh,
passive.
Cool. Like, animated. People who are too passive, that does stress me out a little bit. I'm like, oh, can you show a bit of fire about something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's...
I'm in.
Brilliant. How was shooting the video?
It was fun. Like, we had I had this amazing actress called Izzy Stevenson Olds. She was doing the love interest part.
Did you get to like cast? This is what I would like
cast
to be
your own love interest. Yeah.
No, I did actually. I did.
Like, I love that.
It was. We shot it in Manchester, and they sent out a casting call, and then they sent me like, they sent me like this list of girls. Oh, this makes me sound awful.
It's like Tinder.
That doesn't make you sound awful at all. Like, yeah. Apart from a director once told me, don't ever cast someone you want to sleep with.
Yeah. And you won't completely be able to concentrate.
Well, yeah, and it's just a really bad way to cast someone because you're looking at... Yeah, and I've cast true. People I fancy ever since.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, this is what I got into the industry for.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, hi, I've got all the list of girls. Yeah, no, great. Mm. It doesn't say their relationship status on this
and
quick
are
check-in.
They gay?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you
can
know.
Can we clarify? So I picked this girl, Izzy. She was absolutely amazing. And she's, like, just a stunning actress. She's brilliant. So she just made it really easy. Like, it was my first time, like, filming in front of a camera, but she was very cool. Like,
oh,
the
I
whole
can't
thing.
Wait to watch. How exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope you like it.
Emily, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
You've
for having
been a joy.
Me.
Thank you. You've been a pleasure. This has been lush. Thank you.
And good luck with the tour. We'll see you thank in you. April.
Yes.
Emily Burns at the Amira, 23rd of April. Get your tickets now. Or go and see her in Asia if you can afford the flight.
Thanks, guys.
But Sunday always gets me down, so come by Sunday. Make it after 3. Come by Sunday.